السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are recording. So your parents will be able to listen to this audio recording and see if you are talking or not. Okay. So Islam says kill the infidels. Islam says kill the infidel. Islam says kill them wherever you find them. And kill them wherever you find them. Okay, that's what they say about Islam. Now, let's start with kill the infidels. Or let's start, kill them wherever you find them. Let's start with this one. What do you say about that? How do you reply to that? They say it's in the Quran, and they quote you in 2 and 191. They say, open the Quran.
Yes.
Read verse 2, chapter 1, 9, 1. And kill them wherever you find them. So how do you reply to this particular one? They didn't cut and paste. So what is this whole thing is about? Okay. There is a portion of the ayah. And then kill them wherever you find them, and another portion that came up. So if you take this this text outside of the before and after text, this is called what? Cut and
paste.
So you cut this out, and you paste it as, you know, the way you present it. So what do we say? We say, okay, fine. Let's look what's before, and let's look what is after. The ayah before, which is 291, 2190. 2190 says, and fight. Here it says, and fight for the sake of Allah those who fight you, and don't transgress because, and don't transgress because Allah doesn't like transgressors, This is the part that comes after. Before, I'm sorry. And then what's the part that comes after? And drive you out of the place they have driven you from, and misguiding people and pressuring them out of their faith is worse than killing them. And don't fight them into Kaaba, because if you do, then unless they do start you with fighting first. So if you fight them, kill them. Okay, so what does this say? So here it says, fight for the sake of Allah those who fight you. So fight for the sake of Allah those who fight you, and what? And don't transgress, because Allah doesn't like those who transgress. Got it? And then the next ayah. Kill them wherever you find them, and drive them from the land they've driven you from. And drive them out of the land they have driven you from. So that means that They drove you out of a land, and then you're taking this land back, and you're fighting them, and they're killing them because they take over the land. And then pressuring people. Outside of their faith, away from their faith, is worse than killing them, and etc. You got it? And then it talks about fighting. Fighting in Mecca. Okay, so now what does it say? Can you repeat? So what is here? Fight for the sake of Allah those who fight you, and don't transgress, because Allah doesn't like those who transgress. Here, that's the second ayah, that they cut it out of context. And kill them wherever you find them. Stop. That's what they cut. But if we continue, and drive them out of the land they have driven you from. So they kick you out of your land, you fight them to get it back. Okay? Pressuring people outside of Islam, that's the continuation. Pressuring people outside of their faith is worse than killing them. And then, don't fight them in the in Mecca and in Masjid al-Haram unless they fight you in it. So if they fight you, kill them. You see what I'm saying? It's all about war and regulations, and they take it out of context. Yes.
So what was the first part again?
The first part is that fight for the sake of Allah. Those who fight you, okay, fight for the sake of Allah. Only those who fight you. Only those who fight you. And don't transgress, because Allah doesn't like those who transgress. Okay? All right. So when they say, take it out of context and say, Islam says, and kill them wherever you find them. 291. Then you'd say you have not read the text before and the text after. The text before says, fight for the sake of God those who fight you, and don't transgress. For God doesn't like those who transgress. Transgress means fight someone who's not fighting you. Fighting one that is not fighting you is haram. Don't transgress. Allah doesn't like those who transgress. And here it says, drive them out of the land they have driven you from. So if they have driven you from, then there's a war, right? And they took over your land, and you drive them out of it. So that's immediately following the text, whatever. So what did you understand from what I just said? Huh?
Basically, kill only if necessary. Like, if someone's attacking you, you have the right to defend yourself. And don't fight in Mecca or in Masjid al-Haram unless, like, someone attacks you.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So basically, you tell them, judge by the whole book. Don't judge by
the cover
or like small text here and there. Yes, excerpts. Yes.
So when it says kill them wherever you find them, who is them? The transgressors?
Yeah. No, the transgressors? No, the bad guys. The ones who fight us. Fight for the sake of God those who fight you. Those who fight you. Okay? So, kill them wherever you find them, those who fight you. It's not that I just find a non-Muslim and then cut his neck or her neck just because she's a non-Muslim. Okay. Then Ayah 192 says that if they quit, then Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. Then talks about here, is 192. This all is 191. And this 192 is that if they quit, then if they quit, then Allah's most forgiving and most merciful. You got it? You understand now? So what did you understand so far? That the context of the ayah is what? It's taken out of context. It's cut and paste, cut from its true position that defines what is there. Do you know Surah Al-Ma'un, where it says فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ? Do you know فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ means what? Means severe punishment to the ones who pray. It's like, huh? Severe punishment to those who musallim, who are musallim, pray. Then the next ayah comes and says, those who skip their prayers. So if you don't read both ayahs together, then you're distorting the meaning. I'll give you an easier example. La ilaha. Say, somebody says, your religion says la ilaha, no God. Right? No God. La ilaha. No God. What are you going to say?
Read the second part. La ilaha
illallah. That's right. So whenever somebody brings you this ayah, tell him, read the one before and complete the ayah, because this is a part of the ayah, and then read the one after. And you will figure out that, no, it's not what you're talking about. It's not like when we see an infidel, we just jump on that infidel and cut his or her throat. And there is no word in the Islam called the infidel, by the way. Now, tolerance in Islam. Is Islam a tolerant religion? Yes. Can you give me an example from the Quran that shows how tolerant is Islam? Something mentioned in the Quran? And also some from the rules of Sharia? Yes.
So if like you skip a prayer and you repent from the bottom of your heart, you'll be forgiven no matter how many times you skip the prayer.
As long as you yeah, no, I meant tolerance with other religion. Huh? Can you remember something in your head from the Quran that says that proves that Islam is the most tolerant religion to other religions? The most tolerant religion to other religions, yes. Yes, but that's not the most. There is another ayah that really proves that Islam is very tolerant to non-Muslims. Okay, verse 5, chapter 5. What does it say? It says that men or we can marry Christians and Jews. Now tell me, how tolerant is this? Very tolerant. My wife, the most beloved person to me on the face of the earth, the mother of my children, my wife for the remaining of my life, could it be Christian or Jew? Could this be? Could you have? Where else you see that tolerance like that? Where else? Huh? For men. Yes. Now, when we talk about double standards, that they accuse Islam of having double standards between men and women, okay? I'm going to explain to you why it doesn't work backward. Or if I have time, I'm going to explain why. Actually, why not now? You know why Islam doesn't allow it to be the other way around? Huh?
Because the man is usually in charge of the house and he has the most influence on the children, I guess.
Yes.
the children usually grow up with his faith?
The man of the house has an advantage, okay? And Islam doesn't want to put a wife under the control, or not the control, under the leadership of a, not leadership.
Influence.
Influence of a man, of a non-Muslim man. Another thing, Islam tolerates wives of other religions, right? Now, do Christians have a similar verse that tolerates people from other religions? No. So if a girl or if a man or a woman marries a non-Muslim man, and this man became religious, like people usually get religious in late when they are middle age, roughly, many people become religious, okay, at middle age. So when they become religious, they will abuse the wife, because there is no chapter 5, verse 5 verse in the Bible that protects the Muslim woman. You see? There is verse 5, chapter 5 in the Quran that protects non-Muslim women, wives, right? There is no equivalent. There is no verse 5, chapter 5 of the Bible or the Torah that will protect non-Muslim, that will protect Muslim women. You understand? So non-Muslim wives are protected by Quran. But wives, Muslim wives are not protected. You got it? You understand what I'm trying to say? There is verse 5, chapter 5, that protect non-Muslim wives. There is no similar verse in the Bible that protects Muslim wives. Got it? So here the man, and here the woman. If she is non-Muslim, let's make it black. Woman. If this is a Muslim, and this is non-Muslim. So this verse provides protection. Got it? So this verse provides protection to the non-Muslim wife. Yes?
I don't understand how it provides protection for her.
Provide protection, it means that she is not, you cannot abuse your wife to change your religion. You cannot abuse your wife to be a Christian or a Jew. Okay? You can't. You're not allowed to. Why? Because of this protection that protected by the Quran. Non-Muslim wives are protected in the Quran. How about non-Muslim man, a Muslim wife? And this one will be non-Muslim. And this is will be Muslim. Where is the protection? No protection. No protection from the abuse of the non-Muslim husband. No protection. You got it? So, you don't put the Muslim wife, the Muslim woman, under the heat or in a situation under the mercy of a non-Muslim husband. Okay? You don't put her under the mercy. You understand that? Okay. So basically, I can marry Christian and Jews. Now, if I would have to kill the infidels, or kill them wherever you find them. So, Sunday you marry your Christian wife and Monday you slaughter her. Right? Isn't that right? According to what your understanding, that kill the infidels? Or kill them wherever you find them? So it means that I can marry her on Monday, and on Sunday I can kill her on Monday. Does that make any sense? Yes.
It basically means that if you're attacked by one of them, then you can kill them, but not like...
Right. What I'm saying here in particular, I say, I'm going to marry a non-Muslim wife. Right? Should I, if this is true, if this stereotype is true, then I should kill her, not marry her. Right? So, Islam doesn't say, kill Jews and Christian wives, women, but it says marry them, not kill them. The opposite of kill is marry them. Okay. So can we have more tolerance than that? Just name a religion that has this tolerance, that allows the Muslim husband to marry a non-Muslim wife and protects that Muslim wife. She can keep her religion and she can't be abused by her husband to leave her religion or leave her faith. Okay, agreed with? How much tolerance? I mean, imagine, the most beloved person to me in the whole world, the mother of my children, the companion of my life. Just imagine, she is a Christian or a Jewish woman. Could you have more tolerance than that? Do you know that in Christianity, there is the main divisions, Catholic and Protestant, right? Protestants coming from the word protest. So the reason they are called Protestant is coming from the word Protestant. Protestant. So Protestant. They protested against the Catholic Church. And they rejected. They rejected, how many books? 7 books. So the Catholic Bible has 7 more books than the Protestant Bible. Now, a husband who is a Protestant tried to marry a woman who is a Catholic. Eh? So they went to the Catholic priest. The Catholic priest say, I can't get you married. I can't get you married. So they went to the Protestant priest. The Protestant priest said, I can't get you married. Okay? She has to convert to become a Protestant, or I can't get you married. If it's the other way around, the Catholic priest will say, she has to be a Catholic, or I cannot make the marriage happen. Okay? So imagine, from Christians, but from different denominations, are not allowed to marry across. Guess who got them married? How did they get married? By a judge. Judge got them married. Civil marriage, you know, they just go to a judge and they say, we're married. So the judge said, yes, okay, husband and wife. They couldn't find a priest that will do this for them. Okay. Now, there is an important verse also we need to look at. I did not write the number of this. Okay. There is a verse in the Quran that says that Allah does not forbid you from the ones who are not fighting you to be kind and fair with them, for Allah loves those who are kind and fair. And then the next verse says, Allah only forbids you from the ones who marry you, for the ones who fight you because of your religion and drive you out of your land because of religion. So I'm going to say exactly what verse it is.
Okay. Okay, it's verse 8 and 9. Surah number is 60. Okay to be friends with. Not okay. So the verse 8 says that the ones who don't fight you are okay to be friends with, or okay to marry from. The ones who fight you, it's not okay to be friends with them. It's not okay to marry from them. Just imagine in the United States and Russia during the war, Cold War. Okay? Can you be a US citizen and marry a Russian girl? You're going to be in trouble. How about in Russia? Can you, a Russian man, and marry a American girl? The Soviet Union, the Russia is going to
find you
and give you a hard time. Do you understand? So what I'm trying to do here, what I'm trying to say here, if two countries are fighting together, I'll give you another example. When the World War I, World War II, when United States and Japan were in war, okay? If you marry, if an American person marries a Japanese person during war, then, huh? Is that okay?
You might want to go move somewhere else.
Yes, it's not okay. You would be treated as a spy. How about the other way around? Would Japan like you? No, you would be treated like a spy. Okay? You understand here? So that's a common sense statement. Allah doesn't forbid you from being friends and marry the ones who don't fight you and drive you out of your religion, out of your land. But Allah forbids you from fighting, from having friends or marrying from the people who fight you for your religion. Okay? It's a common sense. Now, nowadays, can I marry a, can an American marry a Japanese?
Yeah.
How? Why not? Why? How come?
They're at peace
right now. Isn't that here? The ones who don't fight you, okay to be friends with? Isn't that here? During time of the war, you belong to where? Here. So this is during war, during peace. And this is during war. Isn't that common sense, guys? Does it need a verse? But Allah wanted to emphasize it in a verse so that, why? So nobody would say, can I love my neighbors? They are non-Muslims. The answer is? Yes, of course. Can I love people who are atheists? Yes, of course. As long as there's no war, then there is no problem. Then there is no problem. Okay. How about 9/11? How about 9/11? How come Muslims attacked the United States? Like 16 Muslims, like most of them are Saudi Arabians. Yes.
Because they're crazy and they think that verse means that God physically kill all non-Muslims. Muslims, and they thought that America was another country, so they should kill.
Kill the Americans. You know they killed many Muslims that were in the World Trade Center too? There were so many Muslims there and they were killed. You know that? So they killed a lot of Muslims. So the radical people kill not only non-Muslims, they kill Muslims too. You understand?
Yeah.
They kill Muslims too. They don't kill only non-Muslims. They don't target only non-Muslims. Like Daesh, for example, ISIS. They kill Muslims. They slaughtered Muslims on the air. You understand? So it's not a religion thing. It's like a sectarian thing. It's like a box. Anybody's outside of this box is killed. Muslim, non-Muslim, killed. Do you understand that? So now we have a person, an American person, who committed an act of terrorism in the name of his religion. Who's that? So before we go there, we say, okay, Islam was hijacked. The name of Islam was hijacked. What do we mean by the name of Islam was hijacked? Huh? The name of Islam was hijacked by who? By the terrorists. By 9/11 terrorists. Islam was hijacked. They kidnapped the name of Islam. Okay? Do they belong? Do they have the right to say we are the only Muslims? Do they have the right to say we represent all Muslims? Even if they say that, would anybody believe them? If they are killing Muslims and non-Muslims alike, they don't believe them. So the name of Islam was hijacked. Hijacked means taken out of them. Its meaning, its diversity is taken out of there and casted into that blind limited vision. It's like the people, you know, the people with blinders. Okay, I'm going to get a ticket back there. Two tickets. One from you, one from her. You know the people who are blinders, wearing blinders? Mm-hmm. It means that what's the meaning of a person who's wearing blinder? It means? It means? Okay. Okay, it means they can look, they can see only inside the box. They can't see outside of the box. Okay? So they are so limited. If you are not from them, you're against them. If you're not from them, then you are against them. So the name of Islam was hijacked. Okay? So that's number one. Number two. Number two. Okay? They kill Muslims. As well. Non-Muslims. Three, okay, they don't represent Islam. Islam or Muslims. Four, who knows how to spell vigilante?
Vigilante?
Yes.
V-I-G-I-L-A-N-T-E.
L-A what?
L-A-N-T-E.
vigilant is forbidden in Islam. Why they are called vigilante? They are called because they don't have a country. Yes, they don't have. They cannot. They are not a nation. There is not a country. It's not a state. Okay, so they basically a gang. It means that they are a gang taking the law in their hands. Gang taking the law in their hands. Do you understand that? Vigilante? They are vigilante. They are taking the law in their hand. Do they have the right? No. So when Bin Laden declares the war against the United States, is he being a vigilante or not? Yes, he's being a vigilante. Why? Because he doesn't represent the state. You can't just be a person ahead of a gang and you say, okay, declare war against the United States. Only because when you declare war, you're talking about kids dying, you're talking about houses demolished and bombed, you're talking about a lot of damages. You cannot just be a gang and declare a war and everybody else in the country is suffering from because of you. You can't do that. And five, examples of other religion. Other acts of terror. Terror. Did I write terror right? Is it 2 R or 1 R? 2 R. Can you give me an example of a non-Muslim who commits a act of terrorism in the name of his religion?
I think one guy went to a church and started shooting people.
That's not in the name of religion, but I'm talking about a person who killed others in the name of his religion. Christian person. He killed in the name of Jesus. Do you remember the bombing of abortion clinics? I think it happened while you were young. Actually, before you were born. Yeah, you guys are born like 2003, 4, like this?
Three.
Three? Yeah. Okay. Before you were born, there was a guy in the East Coast and here in the West Coast. He bombed the abortion clinic in the name of Jesus. Why? Because did they believe? Exactly. They didn't believe in abortion. Okay. His name is? Oh, no, I don't know his name. But the other one who did an act of terrorism, abortion clinics, the other one who committed an act of terrorism, there is a guy called Timothy McVeigh. Who knows about Timothy McVeigh? Yes, Timothy McVeigh. He bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City. And why did he do that? He did that. Why did he do that? He did that for a reason. What was that reason? Whatever the reason is. But that's a terror act. Can I say that? Oh, down there. Can I say that? This Timothy McVeigh can I say that Timothy McVeigh represents Americans? No. Do Americans know that they don't represent them? Yes. The people who have bombed the abortion clinic, do they represent Christians? No. So other Christians, did they believe that those people don't represent Christians? Yes, they knew that those people are criminals. Criminals, they don't represent Christianity. How about Hitler? Does Hitler represent Christianity? Can Hitler represent non-Christianity? I'm sorry, Christianity? No. He's a criminal. Okay?
Okay? He's a criminal. He does not represent Christianity. I can't tell you, you're a Christian, I'll kill you because you're the same religion like Hitler. This is stupid. This is not wise at all. Okay. And there is another, you know, Irish Republican Army. Irish Rebop Army. Irish Republican Party. Republican Army. This is a terrorist organization. Irish Republican Army. It's IRA. It's IRA. This is a terrorist group, a terror group in Ireland. Do you know that there's a war? There has been a war in Ireland. And the Irish Republican Army, the job was to do a terrorist act against their opponents. Do you know that? And the guy name is Jerry Adams. Jerry Adams. Do they represent Christian people? No, they don't. When there is a crime committed by a person, they say it's a crime. By a non-Muslim person, they say it's a crime. But when it's committed by a Muslim, they say terrorism. They say the Muslim did this. So if it's non-Muslim, they say, let's say a person called Philip committed an act of, committed a crime. So we say, Philip is a criminal. We don't say Philip, we don't say Christian is a criminal. Okay? We don't say Christian is a criminal. On the other hand, if the Muslim killed, they say, the Muslim killed. They don't say Philip killed, they say the Muslim killed. You understand? So if it's a Christian, that Philip killed. If it's a Jewish, Philip killed. If it's a Muslim, Muslim killed. They don't use the name of the person, they use the name of religion. Okay? So, I'll tell you a joke about that. There was in New York, there was a dog running after a little girl, and the dog wants to kill the girl, eat the girl, or bite the girl. So, a Muslim guy jumped into the, he ran into the park, and he saved the girl. So, the journalist, the guy from the journal, from the newspaper, came to interview the guy. And he told him, where are you from? Are you from New York? He said, yes. So the next day he wrote in the newspaper, a person from New York saved a little kid. Okay. Then they told him, are you from the city of New York? He said, yes. So the newspaper said, another day the newspaper said, a guy from the city of New York saved the girl. Then he was asked, are you a Muslim? He said, yes. So he went on the newspaper and he read, a Muslim terrorist killed an innocent American dog. Oh my God. You know what I'm saying? You see how they flip facts, flip-flop. They say, and they love it, instead of saying Muslim, they say Muhammad. Muhammad killed Muhammad. And everybody knows that Muhammad is Muslim. You understand? They don't say a Muslim person who does not represent Muslims, okay? Or a criminal. You understand here? Okay, so the Irish Republican Army was headed by or led by Jerry Adams, and nobody was told that Jerry Adams does not represent Christianity at all, because people know that already. They don't need to know that, because people already knows that he does not represent the religion. All right? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Don't forget the envelopes. Thank you.